Good morning, everyone. There's a story of a man who spent 3.5 hours one morning in the DMV. I think we've all had those kinds of experiences, right? And after long lines, moving from counter to counter, rude clerks dealing with their own frustrations, the man left emotionally spent. He stopped at a sports store to get his son a gift. He found the baseball bat that his son wanted and took it to the counter, and the clerk asked, "Is this cash or charge?" He goes, "It's cash." And then he apologized because of his rudeness, and he said he had spent the entire morning at the DMV. And the clerk replied, "Well, do you want me to have the bat gift wrapped, or are you taking it back to the DMV?" Well, here we are, stepping out of another Christmas season. The past several weeks can be looked at in a couple of ways. We can look at it in the frustrations of the preparation, the shopping, the traffic, and all of that. Or we can look at the joy and the wonderment at God coming to us. But even though we spent time looking for that perfect gift, statistics show that despite all the time and effort that we put into shopping and gift giving, when polled, what most people wanted for Christmas was to spend time with family. We know that just having one of our children at home for Christmas far exceeded any gift that we could have received. Is it any wonder that Christmas is indeed one of the most traveled times of the year? Today in our gospel reading, we hear about some other travelers as we celebrate Epiphany today. Epiphany means the manifestation or the appearing of Christ. It is recognized in the church by three ways. Jesus' release into ministry, the first miracle at a wedding, and what we heard today, the three magi coming, or as we sometimes call them, the wise men. There's a lot of mystery around these special gifts givers that we read about. There are some things we do not know for sure, and there are things that we do know. We do not know where they came from exactly, other than the east, probably in the area of the current day Iraq. We don't know that they were only three, or how many there were in the caravan. We don't know that they were kings, or whether they were possibly high-ranking officials in a king's court. But this we do know. They were there. This is not some legend that was dreamt up by someone. There's too much evidence to the contrary. All we have to do is look at the stir that they made in Jerusalem. What we do know is that they were scientists of sorts. They studied the stars. These were astronomers in their day, not to be confused with astrology. We do know that they were Gentiles. We do know that they brought with them three special gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts most likely representing Jesus' royalty, his divinity, and his suffering that he would endure. These gifts were expensive. I've read where some estimates are that if you compare the price, we don't know exactly how much of each one of those gifts was there as far as weight and all that, but it's estimated that in today's market, those gifts probably would be worth close to $500,000. These gifts could have been served as dual purposes of sustaining the family in their flee to Egypt, although there is no record of that. But the point is this. These were significant gifts. In the hearts of these visitors, Jesus was worthy of something special. But what was more amazing about this visit was these magi were, these guys were driven to go and see the Messiah from a faraway place. There's something so special about this event that Gentile people of prominence would take the time to go see. They leave their country, they leave their family and friends, they go on what could be a very dangerous journey for them. Think about that for a moment. You have nothing much to go on except this. An ancient prophetic word, probably for them from the prophet Daniel. You have this inner drive, which is definitely the Spirit of God working in them, in their hearts. and a star that appears. There's all kinds of speculation around that too. What was it? And we try to scientifically analyze everything. We hear like it was a supernova or a convergence of planets making a larger image or a comet. We tend to try to make things up maybe, but what it was a sign from God. It could have been a miracle that God just put there for this purpose. It doesn't really matter what it was physiologically. This we know. It was there, and we know it shows up twice, once to lead the Magi there and once to lead them out of Jerusalem to Bethlehem. What is factual in all of this is that God was orchestrating his plan to guide and move in the hearts of these visitors. Whatever it was, it led these Magi to a spot where they were to go. And when you look at the whole picture over the centuries, you can see how this event was coming to this gigantic climax. God has been planning for this event for centuries. The Spirit of the Lord has been moving in heaven. Prophets were prophesying. Everything was set. Everything was ready. Even in the midst of opposition, God provided a way for his plan to succeed. I don't want to go into a lot about Herod. We know the story of Herod. He's ruthless. He cares nothing about the people or God. He only cares about himself in his kingship. But God did have a plan, and he protected Jesus and the Magi. So these Magi arrive, and they present their gifts to Jesus. But the gifts were not even the most important aspect of this event. When these Magi arrived at their destination, they knelt down and worshiped him. They showed an act of submission to this child. They saw something in Jesus that was holy and pure. They paid him the honor that was his. The Messiah, God incarnate, was right there before them. So they worshiped him. And they laid their gifts before them. And that brings me to what I think the most significant aspect of this is all about. In this unselfish act of submission, carrying these expensive gifts hundreds of miles across rough territory, leaving all they knew behind for a time, these travelers brought themselves. You see, the gifts they brought was an act of worship, but to experience God with us, that will be life-changing. Because what these Magi truly seek in life will be provided for them and all of mankind by a baby laying there before them. And therein lies the message for us. God set into motion a wonderful plan. That plan includes an opportunity for Jew and Gentile to be reconnected to him. That plan includes lives to be changed. That plan includes an opportunity for you and I to come and worship him for who he is and for what he has done in this world and in our lives. And out of our gratitude and respect for his appearing, not only to the world, but to appearing to in our personal lives, we open ourselves to him. We give him ourselves and everything that we are and were created to be to him in an act of worship. You see, worship is something that wells up from inside and is offered to the Lord. And it comes in many forms. Worship is not just singing, though that is part of it. Worship is not just praying, though that is certainly part of it. Worship is how we live out our lives in the world around us. Worship is offering our body, soul, and minds to the Lord. Worship is giving ourselves our talent and treasure to the Lord. How many would consider your job an act of worship? See, it's not a matter of how much or how little you like your job. The issue is that you are doing that job as to the Lord. You are God's ambassador wherever you do, whatever you do, wherever you go. Not because we have to, not because it's the right thing to do, but because we love the Lord so much that everything from Him, from within us, we give to Him. And it cries out to Him. And out of this drive from within our being, we pour ourselves out to be used by Him wherever we are. Even in that job with the nasty boss and irritated coworkers, or I dare say, walking through the doors of the DMV. God can and wants to use you wherever you are. Listen again to what Paul says in our reading from Ephesians. To me, though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given. Remember what grace is? The undeserved merit of God. To preach to the Gentiles, to unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, that's us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. In other words, through Christ, we now have this wonderful access to the Father. We have available to us His wisdom, and He can be made known to us, and the world can know Him through us. If we can say, I am here to worship the Lord and to give my life totally over to Him, and I want to be used by Him, then we need to allow that to happen in us. If we can say, my worship is to allow God to work through me, then let Him do it. Because God wants that kind of relationship with you. Pastor, evangelist, and author Tony Evans said this about worship. If you limit your worship to where you are, the minute you leave that place of worship, you will leave your attitude of worship behind like a crumbled up church bulletin. You see, if we walk out of here today and say, that is my worship for the week, another Sunday service is over, we've missed something. No matter what your job may be or what you're doing in life right now, no matter where you may go, driving, shopping, going to school, and everything in between, your life is an act of worship to the Lord. He died so that you could spend eternity with Him. He died so that we could be here today in this place. He died so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That means walking out this life that He has given us and being guided by His Spirit to the fullest, abundantly. Today, God's plan is moving and working just like He did as with these three magi as they entered Bethlehem. Just like He always will through willing hearts. And He has given us His very Spirit to allow us to do what we need to do. If you believe that, if you agree with that, there is no reason you can't be a wonderful witness for Him. Because you need to know this. Everything that makes us complete in life, everything that we seek to make us whole, can only be found in Jesus. Those magi brought gifts to Jesus, but the biggest gift is what Jesus would give them in return. Today is the first Sunday of 2019. Today, I would like for us to do something special. I would like for us to rededicate ourselves, the ministry of this parish, these buildings, to the service of the Lord. And in doing so, we can look forward to the new year with a fresh start, putting behind the things that hinder our walk with the Lord and looking forward to His direction for the coming year. He has given us each so much: new life, eternal life, new hope. So, our creed in just a moment will be a form that we use to reaffirm our baptismal covenant. It's on page 304 in the Book of Common Prayer. The prayers of the people will be special prayers of rededication of our facilities, our ministries, and ourselves to the Lord. The prayers that we will be reading are not in the Book of Common Prayer, or will they be on the screens? But in your bulletin and on the screens will be the versicle that we read at the end, that Deacon Ross will be reading, and the response that we give. But first, let's pray as we begin this special section of our service today to rededicate ourselves. And as we do this, really search your heart for anything that might be hindering you from really giving yourselves fully to the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart in this moment of time that we are going to go into. So let's first pray together. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of prayer and rededicating ourselves to you, Lord, we ask as we look forward to this new year, you would guide us, that you would fill us with your presence. Father, just as you led the Magi, as you've led everybody through Scripture, lead us, Lord God. Lead us into that place where you want us to be the people you've called us to share your word, to grow in your word, and just walk in your word. And we thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us in bringing to light your word in our lives. So we give this special time to you right now, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.